A bitter feud turns true love into tragedy as Fort Wayne Ballet presents Romeo and Juliet in performance with the Fort Wayne Philharmonic Orchestra. The star-crossed lovers grace the stage April 19th and 20th at the Arts United Center. Tickets and showtimes are available at fortwayneballet.org.
Inspiring artistry, always on point. We are Fort Wayne Ballet.
Hello, and welcome to Fort Wayne Ballet's Kinetic Conversations. Today's episode will continue our discussion on Fort Wayne Ballet's final main stage of the year, Romeo and Juliet. Today, we will discuss Romeo and Juliet from our dancers' perspective, and our guests are Brittany Folk and Caleb Roberts, professional company members and performing the roles of Romeo and Juliet in our upcoming Romeo and Juliet. So let's start by having each of the dancers introduce themselves. So Brittany, why don't you start?
Yeah, hi, my name is Brittany. I am 24 years old. This is my third season with the Fort Wayne Ballet. Before dancing here, I did all my pre-professional dancing with the Washington Ballet in D.C., and then I was with Kansas City Ballet for one season in the second company.
Fantastic. Caleb, how about you?
Hi, my name is Thomas Caleb Roberts. I'm from South Carolina. I've been dancing for quite a while here at Fort Wayne. I've been dancing for, I think, five seasons. I've danced with Boston Ballet, Cincinnati Ballet, Columbia City Ballet, based out of South Carolina, and now Fort Wayne Ballet.
You're both playing the role of Romeo and Juliet, but not necessarily with each other because we have two casts. But I'd like you to tell us a little bit about your preparation for the roles, the characters as you see them, and how you see them driving the story. So, Caleb, do you want to start?
Sure. Well, I'm obviously playing Romeo.
No Juliet.
No Juliet. I mean, I would love to. That would be great. But Romeo is a very young guy, and I'm older. I don't know if I said my age, but I'm 34. So I've really been trying to connect with the inner child in me, how he would see Juliet and how he would react to Juliet, not being as mature as I am now. And to build that character, it's I like to say that I'm a method dancer. So I become Romeo when I step on stage or in rehearsal. And then when I step off, I become myself again. That allows me to disconnect and really embrace the character when I do dance it. But I've tried to pick up on things. You're walking around the streets, you see someone around the age of Romeo, you watch how they walk, you watch how they react, you watch how they speak to their friends or their family. I even pick up stuff from television, radio. You can hear it in people's voices and then mimic that in movement. But the thing about Romeo and Juliet as characters is that they're super complex. They go through life so quickly in such a short period of time that you can't just base yourself off of one thing. So then I start to use stuff in my own life that I have grown to connect with, or what I think Romeo would think and what I think Romeo would be. And then I try to really embrace that to be Romeo.
Be Romeo.
Yeah.
Brittany, how about Juliet?
Yeah. Juliet's been such a fun character to tackle. I heard someone say once that Shakespeare kind of created the first feminist in Juliet. She really goes against the status quo throughout the entire ballet. And she's a driving force in a lot of the unfortunate decisions that happen in the second act. So I think it's been really interesting to take her from the small child, because she's 13 in this ballet. So she starts very young. As Caleb said, both characters progress really, really quickly through like the 3 days that the ballet takes place. But for me personally, I've been diving into the poetry a lot. It's been really fun to kind of find the lines in Shakespeare's play and take that and see what we can do movement in that way. And I've also been watching a lot of videos of the ballet greats that have done these roles before to see what their interpretation is, because many of these events that we're acting out and kind of playing in real life don't happen in real life. So I don't have that experience to back it up. Sure. So it's been really interesting to watch what other people have done with it and kind of make it your own, because it's never going to look the same. You can't just copy. You need to really analyze and internalize it and then see how it comes out on your body.
What do you mean people don't run around with swords killing people and
not,
stuff like that?
Not in my experience. Maybe I haven't lived in the right places.
Not in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
No, not in Fort Wayne. No, not at all.
Well, you kind of alluded to the fact that it's based on the traditional story that you may be familiar with from having read the play or knowing what's going on. And we talked earlier with Karen in one of the earlier episodes about the original Prokofiev adamantly wanted to have a happy ending and tried for years to get that, and the Soviet Council on the Arts overruled him for a variety of reasons. But that's the story we have now, is what you're going to see. But the other thing that's different about this ballet, it's a 20th century ballet. So there are no sylphs, there are no fairies, we're not dealing with any magical creatures or any of that situation. Maybe talk about how that plays into this ballet, especially as a dancer, compared to 24 Swans or having something going on with some magical creature or something. It's about people. They're dealing with people, which is not always what we deal with in the ballet world. So maybe from that perspective, how does that play into this?
Well, I think it goes without saying that Shakespeare was really good at writing stories that really connected with the people at the time and beyond his time, because it brings real life experience in this story. A lot of his stories, like Midsummer and stuff like that, they have that fairy tale, mystical sense to it. But this one really rings out to an audience because you can actually see yourself being Romeo or Juliet. And I guarantee most people in their own life nowadays would connect with how they feel. You know, I've had that high school love where I thought it was the end and that was going to be it. And I'm going to be with this person for the rest of my life. Well, you know, fast forward a couple of years and you find out that's not it. But that touches the audience on an emotional level that we all can connect with. And I'm sure everyone knows the story of Romeo and Juliet and stuff. But historically, there were times like that. There was that time of period where people, the families didn't like each other and everyone carried swords and love was very precious and very delicate and you didn't mess with it because you were either betrothed to someone or you ran away with someone. And in that time, it was so important to find that connection. Even if you were betrothed to someone, you were taught and trained to eventually find your connection with that person so that you could have your life. So love was used, manipulated, controlled, not controlled. It was very, very much more present in their lives historically than it is, I feel, in ours now, that we've disconnected our hearts from our souls and from everybody around us. But to have it put on a level that I bet you some of those people in Shakespeare's time actually had memories of things like that happening on their streets, or their grandma or grandpa tell them stories like that. And so it really connected with the human race that, you know, love is important and love can do both good and bad. It can create all kinds of stuff, you know?
So Brittany, not playing a swan or a sylph or something else, how is that?
It's a lot of fun. It's always fun, you know, in our art form to do something different. Because especially when you are in the court of ballet, which I've had the opportunity to do a lot of court of ballet work, to step into a role like Juliet is a complete 160. Like, you use the skills that you've learned from like a Swan Lake or a Sleeping Beauty, but you don't use them in the same way. This ballet, as Caleb said, it's so innately human. We find ourselves in rehearsal, whereas if we were on a Swan Lake, it's all about, is your foot pointed the right way? Are you completely turned out? In these rehearsals, it's like you're running to ballet, like just run like a human, like see what that feels like. How can we turn that into a beautiful movement? And I think, especially with Romeo and Juliet, the story is so human. It's one of those really special ballets where you go in knowing the ending, but hoping it won't end that way. Even though you know it's coming, you fall in love with these characters and with these people. And you're like, maybe this time it'll all work out. Then they're in love and they'll be okay. It'll be a happy ending. Spoiler alert, it's not. But unfortunately, but it's been a really rewarding process to work on those things. And I always tell people when they're hearing about Romeo and Juliet, if they've never been to the ballet, it's a great starter ballet because we all know the story. So you're not guessing with the pantomime as much as you might be with other ballets. Like if you don't know the story of Swan Lake, sure, it's not as well known. And it just flies by. It's not the traditional outline of a ballet where it's, you know, pas de deux, variation, variation, coda. You don't know what's coming next in those guidelines. So it's a great gateway ballet.
Well, we talked about this in some of the other episodes too. You're also not going to see the traditional large court of ballet section like you would in like a Nutcracker with Snow, or you would Swan Lake with all the swans. Although you do see similar types of large groups of dancers, but Caleb, as you said, that might be swords. You might be 6 to 8 guys sword fighting. And then I do have a question for you, because I've asked everybody about this. What are the pillars about? Why are the guys holding pillows? Have you figured out in your mind? Because we've talked about this in terms of people will see this courtly dance and all the guys with the pillows, which I know you guys call a pillow dance, but what are the pillows about?
Well, I honestly don't know. I don't know. But if I have a gander at it, if I think about it, I would like to say that it's because in formal dancing in that time, the men did a lot of kneeling. Just a guess is that the men wore tights and stockings. And in parties like that, you wanted to look as clean as possible. You wanted to look as presentable as possible. And the ground that you would kneel on would not technically be carpeted or might not even be hardwood. You don't really know. So you wouldn't kneel down in your nice clothing and ruin it. So you would put the pillow down and kneel for your lady. And then when your lady needed to sit down, when you were going to do your gentleman things, you would put the pillow down for them to sit so that their dress wouldn't be ruined. I don't know if that's actually it.
We should put that in the history book because that makes as much sense as anything else does. And it probably is true. So that's great. Following up on that, you all mentioned elements of getting in character. But what parts of the character do you feel like you work hardest at to make sure the audience sees that part of your character because you think it's important? Brittany?
Yeah, I think acting for stage is really different than acting for camera or even acting for ballet rather than acting for like a theater show, because you want to make things big enough for the audience to see it because they won't be sitting really close. They'll be farther away. But you don't want to make them so big that they become animated or unreal, because as Caleb pointed out earlier, the best part of the story is that it's so relatable and you can see yourself in these characters. So I think that takes a special amount of like honing that skill and finding what works on your face and what is reading the correct way, because sometimes what feels right in our bodies does not look right to the front of the room. So that's where it's really important that we spend a lot of time and trust the people who are running our rehearsals to let us know like what you're trying isn't working, like let's try something else. And I think the other side of that is Miss Karen and Mr. LaFosse have been really great about letting us play and not doing things the same way every time, because especially with the characters of Romeo and Juliet, they have key moments that are really important. And I think if we were to find one that worked really well and do it over and over and over again, it's going to start looking stale and it's going to start looking rehearsed where it needs to look a little bit more like we just thought of it, even though it's very choreographed. So it's been fun to kind of play around with different intentions as well.
Yeah, I agree with everything she says. And then what I've thought about and what I've really been focusing on is that, and we've touched on it earlier, since Romeo is young and you see them, Romeo and Juliet, grow up so fast in 3 days, there still has to be the sense of innocence in him, even though he looks and is starting to act older because he has to. He's becoming more mature really fast. But you can't forget that he's still a kid and that he's blinded by the love that he has for Juliet. Blinded in a good way. It ends up bad, but he's so in love with her that he sees no other option. And that's why he kills himself, because he can't live without her.
Right.
But there still has to be the fact that this is still a kid. And this kid is making an extremely adult decision, which should never, ever be taken lightly. And I'm worried that when I start to develop Romeo into the more mature Romeo, that the innocence of him gets lost. Because I am older, I look older. And I have to remind myself that I look older and that I'm not 34 years old. I'm 16 or 15 years old. And even though he's growing and he's seeing life very quickly flash before his eyes, he still has to be a kid. And he still has to have that unknowingness of why love is driving him to do this. I don't want that to be disconnected. I want him to still feel like he sees no other option because he knows no other option, because that is all he has and that's all he wants. And children have that feeling. When we grow up, we lose that feeling a little bit. It's still there, but we lose it. When we're children, it's nothing but the sun's up. Let's go have fun. I want to eat all the pizza in the world. It is just, there is no consequence, And he still has to have that feeling that he doesn't know the consequence,
but he's very quickly learning it.
Sure. So pivot for just a second. There's a lot that goes into being a professional dancer, and often all anyone sees is the performance. So if you were to peel that back a little bit, what about your daily preparation or longer than that in terms of being a professional dancer? Do you wish people understood or that they saw or that they knew in terms of what goes in beyond just getting ready for that one performance, but to be a professional dancer? So Brittany?
I think one thing that most people don't know and that I like to say is that being a professional athlete of any kind is a 24-hour job. Like, we are here our 9 to 5, like everyone does. But then when we go home, we are cross training, we are eating well, we are making sure we get enough sleep, especially doing roles like Romeo and Juliet that are both physically and emotionally charged and exhausting, to be honest.
Sure.
It's really important that you get that rest in. I like to say to my mom, when we're rehearsing for these principal roles, we live like nuns. Like, we're not going out on the weekends, we're resting so that we're able to come into the studios and put our best foot forward so that in the next 5, 6, 7 weeks, we're able to do that on stage as well.
Sure. Caleb?
I think I've been a professional ballet dancer pretty much my whole life, since I was 18. And the physicality of things, I agree with her. People need to know that this is not something we walk off the street and do. We've trained our whole lives to do this. And we were very particular and very focused on how we treat our bodies, what we put in our bodies. But I think a big thing, and this is happening in the world as well, is that the emotional side of being a professional dancer is the hardest thing to cope with. The ballet world is very disciplined, and it is very do it. We need to do it. And that mentality gets hard when you can't do it. And then on top of that, you have to play a character like Romeo. And like I said earlier, I'm a method dancer. So when I step on stage, I feel every ounce of emotion that Romeo feels, every ounce. And when you walk off stage, you have nothing. You have nothing in your mind. You have nothing in your soul. You have nothing in your heart. That's a very dark place. It's not said enough that, yes, we physically put ourselves through something that someone off the street could never fathom of putting their body in that position. But underneath that is the emotion that is shown by doing that. Physicality comes and goes, you know? I get strong, I don't get strong. I get strong, I stay strong. That comes and goes. But the mental capability and the mental power to bleed your heart on stage, that's hard. And when a dancer is able to adapt to that and they're able to stay strong in themselves, they become amazing. They become unstoppable. But sadly saying, a lot of dancers struggle with that. I struggle with it.
Yeah.
Physicality is a big thing, but the mental state a dancer has to put themselves to be that disciplined, to only do what is right for you in those moments, both physically and mentally, it's a hard thing to juggle, especially when you're young, because our careers start so young.
Sure.
And they end, most of them, when we're still young.
Right.
You know? And so you have a very short life to live a lot.
Right.
And that can weigh on you. And you usually find yourself by yourself. Even though you have people around you, you find yourself by yourself, you know? Because only you know how you feel. And only you can get the help that you need, you know, whatever that may be.
Sure. Well, to wrap this up, the last element that we'll have the honor or the ability to do, and we do this often, it's a great score, phenomenal score, and we have the opportunity to do it with live music, which is always a treat, so you get the full theater experience. But just to sort of wrap this up and put a bow on the performance and what to look forward to, how did the two of you feel about working with live music, and how does that change as opposed to the tape music? I know that's not as precise, but there are different elements when you feel the music through your body differently. So maybe talk just for a minute about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I came to Fort Wayne, I actually didn't have the opportunity to dance with live music. So not only is that a completely separate skill that you have to learn how to work with, but it's so rewarding. It makes the experience that much better, not only for the audience, but also for us dancers. I think, at least for me, when you can feel the music, not only hear it on stage, it's just so much better. I think also back to what I was saying about things can get over rehearsed if we do them the same way every time. It's the same with the music. If we know exactly where every single note is going to be, it's not as exciting as if we are working with the orchestra as one to tell this story along. So it's always very rewarding.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to be a little bit different. I've danced with live music pretty much my whole career, and there's nothing like it. The thing is they're artists, we're artists, we're all telling the same story. If there is no music, it would just be a bunch of people walking around on stage, right? And so it gives me that much more power because I don't dance with the music. I let the music dance through me. And so the music is what drives me. My thoughts and emotion is what creates the character, but we're all doing it together to make this magical thing happen. And to be honest, I'm going to get real Southern, but to be honest, Bo, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Because to hear it on a CD, you know someone went play. To hear the tapping of
the baton. Yeah.
You hear the tapping of that, and all of a sudden, this chaotic sounds of everything of them warming up, and then everything settles, and it gets quiet, and then you hear the very light. Not all of them do it. But you can tell some take breaths, some conductors take breaths. Sometimes you just know, some of them count, you know, one, two, three, and the music just starts. And man almighty, the feeling of hearing that many people come together and put music out, it almost feels like a tank and you can see it get filled, yourself getting more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And then you feel that curtain when that curtain comes up, because when that curtain's down, it's muted. And then when the curtain comes up,
you hear the wave of music.
It just washes over you and usually makes me cry before I step on stage. Doesn't matter what score it is. It usually makes me cry because it is powerful, powerful.
Well, with that, we look forward to Romeo and Juliet with the Fort Wayne Philharmonic and all that goes into that coming up soon. Brittany, Caleb, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Fort Wayne Ballet's main stage production of Romeo and Juliet, accompanied by the Fort Wayne Philharmonic, will be April 19th and 20th at the Arts United Center. You can purchase tickets by visiting the Fort Wayne Ballet website, artstix.org, or calling the box office at 422-4226. Kinetic Conversations is brought to you by Fort Wayne Ballet and Wayne Chow Productions. If you would like to receive notifications on future podcasts, please like the podcast and go to fortwayneballet.org to sign up for notifications on performances, podcasts, and more ballet news. You'll also find a library of past episodes on our website in the menu of options. Until next time, I'm Jim Sparrow, and thanks for listening to Kinetic Conversations with Fort Wayne Ballet.
Has been a Wayne Shout production.
Wayne Shout.